In just a moment, we're going to be sharing the Lord's Supper together, but before we share the Supper of the Lord, we listen to the Word of God proclaimed. And the text that Gannon just read is the text that I would like to ask that you would reflect upon with me just for the next few minutes. Throughout our Advent season this year, on the four Sundays of Advent, the sermons we've been preaching have been based on the biblical text that formed the foundation for some of the unknown or unappreciated Christmas hymns. And we've looked at four so far, four of the unfamiliar Christmas hymns and the biblical text that really prompted the author to pen the words that he or she penned. And tonight we reflect on a fifth one. And Dr. Carol Bart played that great Christmas carol or hymn a few moments ago. And as you will remember, it's entitled "On Christmas Night, All Christians Sing." And the author of that hymn, and it's a relatively new hymn, I believe it was penned in 1968, if I remember correctly, that hymn came from the text we've just read from Luke chapter 2 and primarily verse 10. And maybe that's one of the well-known or more well-known biblical texts that we think of when we think of the coming of Christ in Advent. And, of course, it's about shepherds. They hear the news that Christ has come, and there is great joy. And if you followed along with the words of the hymn, as Carol played a few moments ago, you'll recognize that the author is using that text to tell us that when we understand what Christmas is about, we can't help but sing. Whether we can sing or not, we're going to sing. And that raises a couple of questions that I have for you, and maybe you've had this experience like I've had. I'm not much of a singer at all, and many of you can testify to that. If you happen to be sitting down here on a Sunday morning, and I'm sorry about that, I make a joyful noise indeed. But have you had the experience of driving down the road, and you're just singing? Just, you know, maybe a tune pops in your mind, and you're just singing, and the day is bright, there's good things happening, you're just singing. And then maybe the very next day, there's no song in your heart at all. Now, I've had that happen a lot. I suspect you've had that happen too. Why do we sing? Why do we sing? Why do we sing at Christmas is another question. Why are there Christmas carols that we sing? Why do we sing at all? And I think that the Word of God would give us a little hint of an answer by telling us that singing has something to do with joy. You know, whether you can sing or not, there's a song in you when you're joyful, when there's something in you or something going on with you or with those you love. When there's good news, you just sing. You just sing. There's just a song in your heart. And that's what was going on in Luke chapter 2 with the shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel came and gave them the incredible news that there is for them born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And notice that the angel describes the birth of Christ as being news of a great joy. And I think that's why the author of our hymn says on Christmas night or Christmas day, all Christians sing. It seems to me that it begs the question, what is joy? What is joy? Last Sunday, we talked about the crib and who is in the crib. And we looked at that hymn that describes it this way, my Savior is in the crib. My Savior in the crib. And what a message, because everyone's thinking about the crib. Maybe you drove by several nativity scenes to get here tonight. And everybody in this city, whether they believe in Christ or not, are thinking about the crib. And they're also thinking about joy. We just associate Christmas with joy. And I think that's because that's how the news first came, as a message of joy. What is joy, anyway? And I think it would be very important for us tonight to get our answer to that question from God. God, who is the creator of all things. What is joy? Well, if you ask most of us, you know, walking down on the street somewhere, maybe in downtown Huntsville, what is joy? We're going to say it's delight. There's a sense of lightness, and it's pleasure. It's a sense of wholeness. It's perhaps profound happiness, and all those are the right answers. But there's something infinitely deeper about the joy that the shepherds shared with the angels shared with the shepherds that night. There's something about joy that is uniquely related to Jesus. In fact, I'm going to say something pretty audacious. I think I'm on good grounds to say that there is no joy in the deepest sense of the word apart from the one in the crib. There are a lot of joy substitutes. And there are a lot of things that make us sing, you know, for a while. And then that song fades. Maybe it's because it gets overcome by some bad news. You're singing one moment, and then you're singing the blues the next moment. And your song fades out. But there's a joy that will keep you singing forever. All Christians sing. All Christians sing when they think of the crib. Joy in the Bible is that experience you have in being in God's presence. You know, that's why the angel said joy to the world, because the Savior had left heaven and taken upon himself human flesh in Mary's womb, and he was born. And in that moment of his birth, joy came to the world for the first time. Joy was lost in the Garden of Eden, and it never appeared again in its fullness in human history until 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, when joy was born. Joy came. Joy, the presence of God. God with us. That's what his name means, Emmanuel. God with us. The psalmist put it this way, Psalm 63, "You, Lord, have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." Now, that's what Christians are singing about, not just on Christmas, but every day of the year, because God has come to be with us in the form of his Son. It really, really, really did happen. Christ was born, and he took on human skin, human flesh. He was the God-man, and he came. And he came not only to redeem us and to wash our sins away, but for the first time to give us joy, real joy, in this life that will grow and grow and grow until we gather together in heaven, and there will be an eternal joy that will far outstrip anything we've ever experienced at all. Forever we will be in God's presence. That's why Christians sing at Christmas time. Because they're happy, they're joyful, they're exuberant, they're at peace, they're satisfied that God has come to them, and he's come to you. But joy is also a spirit that we experience, a soulish kind of a spirit we experience when we're worshiping God. When we worship him, when we sing his praises, and when we read his word, when we loft our prayers to heaven, when we confess our sins, and we're communicating with him, when we're offering our worship to him, there is joy. And Jesus changed worship radically. Before he came, the Old Testament saints worshiped in a much, much different way than we do. They worshiped through one man, a high priest who was their representative, and he had access to God's presence just one day a year. And he entered that presence of God, that fiery presence of God, with fear and trembling. And nobody else could go there, only the high priest. And he would carry the blood of the sacrificial animals, and there he would worship for the people in the presence of God. And then you remember what happened when Jesus died, and maybe you've never connected this event, but when our Lord died, there in the city of Jerusalem, in that place we know as Golgotha or Calvary, the Bible tells us that at the moment Christ died, the great curtain hanging in Solomon's temple that separated the Holy of Holies, that is the place where only the high priest could go, from the places where the other parishioners could go, that great curtain split in half from top to bottom, exposing the Holy of Holies to all people. You know what that means? It means when Jesus came, he took away the need for the high priest and the temple and the Ark of the Covenant, because we worship God through him. And we have a privilege that no Old Testament saint ever had of worshiping God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be with us. If you know him, you are a priest. And you have bold access to his throne. And that gives us joy. You know, you can be riding down the road in your car, and you can be singing, and then you can let that song move into prayer and praise, because worship has been forever changed. You don't need that temple. You don't need that altar. You don't need that priest. Every moment is a moment of worship. You gather together on the Lord's Day with the church, and we worship in the presence of the God who came. And that's why we sing. There's joy when we worship. And then there's joy for those who are redeemed. We sing at Christmas time because we've been redeemed. We've been saved. Now, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, and maybe that's inevitable. I think maybe the train has already left the tracks or left the station on that one. But it's been a rough year, hasn't it? In many ways, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough number of years. And in my life, I seldom have been as unnerved as frequently as I have in the last several years by world events, by suffering and tragedy and events that seem to be unprecedented, that you would never expect to happen in this world. And in this world, it just seems to me, is just filling up with sadness, filling up with pain and suffering and bad news, you know. And that's the world we live in. That's the world we created with our sins. And we live that world out in our own experience until Jesus saves us. We're just a walking bag of bad news and death until Jesus saves us. There is no good news on planet Earth apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him as your Lord and Savior, and looking forward to the day when he will not only recreate a people for himself, but he will recreate the entire universe. This world, the Apostle John said, is doomed. It is passing away. And we've experienced that. We are experiencing that now in this world. We've come from the world tonight. We know the bad news out there. The testimony of John is true. This world is terminally ill, and it is passing away. But that's why Jesus came. He came first to redeem you and me and to change our hearts and to wash our sins away and to pay for them and to supply his righteousness where we have none, that we might be justified by faith in him and be renewed. In fact, Paul would say that those who are in Christ are new creations. Wow. That's why we sing. And that's why we sing down here. A Christian is the first to admit this world is a very dark, foreboding place. And sin and evil and the devil are real. But we sing because we've been redeemed. We've been saved. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 51, this is David, when David needed a new heart, when David needed to confess his great sins and experience the grace of God, he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Joy. And Christians sing on Christmas night on the battlefield in this world, because the author of joy lives in us. He's made us new. This world is not our home. That old chorus was spot on. This world is not our home. In one way, we're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. And there is no bad news. And I want to dare you to believe this with me. There is no bad news we could ever hear or experience in this life that is bigger than what God has done in Jesus Christ in making us new, saving us, and then giving us the hope that one day the entire world and universe will be made new, and all evil and suffering and tears and sorrow will be eradicated, and we'll know nothing but glory and life and eternal joys. That's why we sing. We've been redeemed. That's why a Christian can be laying in the hospital on Christmas Eve singing. That's why we can have funerals at Christmas time and sing. And that's why we can look in the mirror and see the effects of the fall working itself out, in the, even in the aging and in the disease processes that are at work. And we can sing. And we can sing when we're persecuted. And we can sing when the world hates us. Why? Because of Christmas. If anybody has a right to do any singing, it's those who've been redeemed, who know that that baby in the crib was their Redeemer. Joy come for them. Their Savior, who has made them new, given them eternal life, and promises the glories of heaven forever, they can sing no matter what. Now you know why all Christians sing on Christmas night. We have every reason to. Whether you can sing or not, you open your mouth and sing and praise Him. You praise Him in the morning, and you praise Him at noon. You praise Him at mealtime. You join King David and you say, seven times a day, I will sing my praise to the Lord. There has never been a greater moment to praise His name and sing than this moment here. Our Lord has come. Hallelujah. What a great incarnate King we serve. In your bulletin is the oldest confession that the church has used throughout her history. It's called the Apostles' Creed. And I want you to recite these words with me as we confess aloud what we believe. Let's join with the ancient church of old and confess the words that have been echoing in the hearts of God's people all these years. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me as we pray. Father, thank You for Jesus. And thank You for this supper. And we know He is with us here spiritually. And bless these elements to testify to His presence and His power, and the nourishment He gives all who trust in Him. And may we experience the joy that those disciples knew 2,000 years ago when they saw Jesus, when they touched Him, when they heard Him preach, and when they saw Him raised from the dead. Give us joy and teach us to sing, and bless us now together as the church, in Jesus' name. Amen.